Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast.
Oh, hello everybody. It is 6 December and I'm Todd Cochran, your host for the Geek News Central podcast. And of course, like always, it's been a beautiful, beautiful weekend here in Honolulu. And I know most of you in the mainland are hopefully have gotten this podcast before you have gotten your cars to go to work today. But I'm getting it recorded awful late in the evening, Sunday evening, so it'll be ready for your pickup on Monday morning. But one of the challenges I'm having this show on Mondays and Thursdays, is that there isn't a lot of news over the weekend, so I have to scrounge and dig to find topics of interest for you for the Monday morning pickup. So I've considered maybe revising my show dates to Tuesday and Friday. Give that some thought and let us know what you think about us possibly moving the two show dates each week. I know that we have our biggest draw on Thursday and the lowest numbers that pull on Monday. But anyway, just let us know what you think about that. And drop a call to the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. And or call me on Skype, and you can Skype me at geeknewscentral.com. Or drop us email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. That brings up, I've gotten a bunch of requests from you guys on we got this question, Ford Island, why do you guys say on historic Ford Island? Well, we do indeed live on historic Ford Island, and my house is part of a new subdivision here, and I'm actually within about, I'd say less than a quarter of a mile from the Arizona Memorial, and I'm about the same distance to the USS Missouri. So there is a lot of, and not even including that, I'm real close to the USS Utah's memorial, which a lot of people don't know about or don't realize, but I can virtually see the pier that leads to the Utah's memorial. And with tomorrow being, today actually being December 6th, and tomorrow, the day, Tuesday being December 7th, there's a lot of activities that happen here in the Pearl Harbor, Ford Island area. In that, they bring people in, Pearl Harbor survivors, Arizona survivors, and they have usually a pass and review by one of the Navy ships, and this year it's going to be by a destroyer, Chung Hung, is one of the Navy's newest DDGs, and they're going to be doing a pass and review. Now, Ford Island, for those of you that have been to Hawaii in the past and visited the Arizona Memorial, it used to be you had to take basically they had a boat that would you load your cars up onto, and it'd take a short 1 mile ride across the Pearl Harbor to the docks to get onto Ford Island. But now there's a bridge, so that bridge is designed so that it will drop down, a section of it will drop down and open up. So traffic off here is going to be closed on the 7th from, like, I guess 6 in the morning to 9:30 or something like that, while they do this pass and review. So I'm going to have to get up real early Tuesday morning to get out of here. And it's kind of sad because I'm in school this additional week, and I've got I have to be there to 8. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do between the hours of basically 5:30 and when I have to start school at 8. Yeah, I'll figure it out and I'll let you guys know. Probably fill the iPod up full of podcast and go sit in my car and listen to everybody yak. The I want to tell you also on some additional notes here on the podcastalley.com site. They had some voter fraud with some people learned how to circumvent the voting on the most popular podcast, and there were people that were racking up like 1,600 and 1,700 votes. I think at last count we had 470 some, and I know that he had allowed people to vote every 24 hours at a point, but that, or every 7 days I think it was, and he's got that all cleaned up, got the code locked down so that people aren't going to be able to cheat, or at least the best thing he can do to keep them from cheating. And so if you feel like going back and re-voting for us, go over to podcastalley.com and re-vote for the site. We'd definitely appreciate that. Now, as I did on my short broadcast on Monday afternoon, you know that we have been nominated for a 2004 Weblog Awards as the best tech weblog. Now, I'm looking at the voting. There's like 7,800 people that have voted, and I think Gizmodo and Engadget have the lion's share of the votes this far, and I think we have like 2.5%, something like that. But I did the math. 2.5%, can't complain. Pretty good, considering the sites that we're going up against. But if you want to support us, go over there to 2004weblogawards.com, and you can vote every 24 hours, and we truly appreciate your support on that. Now, I did a call for additional editors for Geek News Central, and I know that we had some response to that, and several of you, I need to get back to you, and a couple people in particular, and I haven't had time to do that, so if you have not heard a response for me, don't fret. I will be, I'll be getting to you, getting back to you. Now, the my daughter, who's 14, is telling me, "Dad, I want an iPod," and she wants a 20 gig iPod. I'll be honest with you, she doesn't have 20 gigs of legal material to put on her iPod. So I was asking her what she'd planned on putting on there, or how she was going to be getting it, and she didn't have too much of a response to me. So I'm looking for something that is a little more realistic for a 14-year-old, and I know it's a, you know, it's a fashion statement saying I've got an iPod, but those of you that have non-Apple iPods and have an MP3 players, let me know what you've got, so give me a shopping idea so I can figure out what to get her for Christmas. Now, one of our first advertisers, I'm going to put his plug in tonight, and this is basically going to be read by me. So this is the advertisement for the night. RootSecure.net, that's RootSecure.net, is a security news site helping you to protect your network and PC. It features links to the top security news stories updated daily, along with the full-text RSS feeds and audio-video downloads. Topics covered in the past include caller ID, spoofing, text message spoofing, and other news stories not found anywhere else. So, a podcast of stories featured is available at rootsecure.net/podcast. And we want to thank those guys over there for, Nick in particular, for supporting Geek News Central with an advertisement to help us cover our bandwidth costs. We'll have a link up to his site on the entry today. So please go over there, support my advertiser. I would definitely appreciate it. Check his site out, pick up his RSS feed, and even check out his podcast. So now, let's see here. We're going to get into the information I've got to spew out for you today. And again, it is tough going to find good stuff following a weekend. But I think I got enough store for you. I noticed there was a lot of links today to Robert Scoble is going to be writing a new blog book, and he's going to be doing it with the readers. It's an interesting approach to what they're going to be doing. I'm going to have a link up to the site on where they're going to be discussing the new blog book, and of course, I want everyone to get over there and check that out. If you got input, put it in for Scoble's this book. It should be a good one. There is a article out that Dan Gilmore talked about some spyware, and it talks about Gator. Now, those of you that are familiar with Gator know that they've been a pretty prolific adware company, sticking software on people's computers and making it very difficult to remove. And Ben Edelman, and this is his, he's got an article called Gator EULA Gone Bad, and he read through the thousands and thousands of words in their user agreement. It's actually 5,936 words in the license, and it stretches to 63 on-screen pages. He actually read this thing, and near 3,000 words in the license, Gator proclaims, and this is a quote from their license, "You agree that you will not use or encourage others to use any authorized means for the removal of the GAIN ad server or any GAIN-supported software from a computer." This blows me away. their licensing is basically telling people they can't tell someone else to take it off their computer. An absolute arrogance. And it's just, you know, they've even got, Gator's got links on being able to how to remove it. And you almost have to go to a third-party removal because the removal procedures are so skewed. But if you see that pop up on your computer or someone else's computer, stay far, far away. It's not a good program to have running on your PC. I did get a kick out of Phil, I believe it's Phil Winley's weblog, and he's got a comment on here on how to make a podcast. And some of his gear looks exactly like some of the stuff that we're running. So I'm going to put a link up to that for those of you that are thinking about making a podcast. And it has some pictures. And I've got pictures on one of our alternate sites, too, that we'll link to on how to make a podcast. Now, the biggest news probably this weekend and part of last week was that Microsoft launched their MSN Spaces. And we've already been talking about the MSN Spaces on Geek News quite a bit already. And I know there's a land rush for space names. And I went out there and scored 2 or 3 for myself. And, well, I didn't score 2 or 3. I scored 1. Ha ha. But I'm looking at it, and, you know, they have a lot of cool features where they're integrating it into the rest of Microsoft's offerings. And there is a good I believe it's one of the developers has a article out that it talks about kind of some good things to do with Spaces. It talks about some of the enhancements that you can do to improve your space on MSN Spaces. So I'll put a link up to that. Check that out. I think you'll enjoy what he has to say there. And if any of you are using MSN Spaces, please send us a comment. Let us know what you think. I had put an article up about what my daughter thought, and you can read those comments on the website that we put up earlier this weekend. Jason Calacanis, I guess that's how I pronounce his name, has an article up about what sites he used to search the blogosphere, and he basically listens blogdex.net, TechnoRaddy, PubSub, Daypop, and Feedster. Now, I use all of these tools, except for I've kind of steered away from using Daypop. I don't know what their deal is over there. They've seemed to have had a lot of issues with getting spammed. So you find links to sites that you don't want loading on your browser, because basically these guys that are running porn sites and that type of things are getting a good page rank on Daypop. And you go to the site and it's trying to load spyware onto your computer. So watch what you're clicking over at Daypop, and hopefully they can get that fixed. There is I'm talking a lot tonight about Robert Scoble. For some reason, I linked a bunch of his stuff. But when you get slash-dotted, obviously servers get brought to the ground. But there's a Scoobalizing effect, too, when your site gets Scoobalized. And people are talking about the type of traffic this guy is driving to websites, and you know it's a good boost for a day when he does. So if you want to get yourself noticed and you're a web blogger, link to his articles, write about him, and he'll drive some traffic your way when he puts you up in his link blog or on his primary site. I've been going through and I kind of got some haphazard links here today. I didn't put these things in order, and there was a we'll just skip that article because we've already talked about MSN Spaces enough. But NT4, it's going to be DOA as of December 31st. Microsoft's pulling the plug. So any of you that are running NT4 servers, you're going to be out of luck. Unless you're with a corporate that has paid for a support. Now, what I thought would be a cool idea, and I don't know how much Microsoft's going to be charging these companies to stay on the support lifeline, but I would be willing to start a pseudonym small company, and probably is outside of their license agreement, but to pool a bunch of people's money together that are still running NT4 servers and buy the additional 1 year of support that they're going to be offering. Now, many of you are going to say, well, why continue to run an NT4 server? And I'll be honest with you, don't fix what isn't broke. The servers, I've got a server sitting here in the office that is run 24/7, goes months on end without having to be rebooted. It's my primary mail server. I've got some unique applications running on it that we're going to talk about on Thursday that keeps me from being spammed. And you know, it's reliable. And guess what? It's paid for. My license is good. I don't have to go out and spend multi-hundreds of dollars to buying a upgraded license. And a lot of people say, well, you have all the latest and greatest. And I'll be honest with you, I don't need it. So I know there's a lot of people out there that need those added benefits, but I'm not even using Microsoft's internet server. I'm using a third-party one, and it's worked out great. Those of you that are working or utilizing Firefox as your primary browser, I'm going to have a link up today to a site that talks about some cool extensions. I know we've talked about that in the past, but there's more and more extensions that keep coming out for Firefox, and we hope you enjoy that link. I wrote an article a few days ago about unprotected PCs that connect to the internet and how they can be hacked in minutes. If you are building up a PC, ensure that you do it offline and get all your spyware and get programs loaded and get your firewall loaded before you connect to the internet. There's more evidence that computers are being taken down or being compromised within minutes of being put up on the net. So I'm going to link to this new article and give you a little bit of more reinforcement that you got to be careful when connecting these PCs to the network without a firewall. We all want to make sure our PCs are running smooth and being able to get the most value out of the dollar that we've spent on them. So I'm linking to an article today that has some basic checklist items that you can do for tuning up your PC. It's nothing that's real earth-shattering. I know that these articles come out all the time, but it's just another article in a series of articles that may give you some ideas to help you keep your PC running to its full performance. The International Space Station, the food supplies are getting tight, and NASA has a policy in place that if they get to 30 days of food, only 30 days left, they have to abandon the station. So the Progress of resupply ship that's due to get there later this month, it's critical that it has to arrive on time. Any delay may cause the International Space Station to have to be abandoned, and so I would hope that NASA is working feverishly to get these shuttles back in the air. You know, it was a tragedy what happened with the last shuttle accident, but it's just like riding a horse. You got to get back up on the horse and ride. You know, there's an inherent amount of risk when you're doing spaceflight, and those that sign on for that job understand that. So I hope they get through their commission's recommendations and get the space shuttle back in the air so that we can get the right amount of support going back to the International Space Station. Now, I have been a longtime supporter of the NewsCrawler aggregator. And I'll be honest with you, I think I said it a couple of shows ago that I basically abandoned using NewsCrawler. They weren't fast enough to do updates to get new features in. And I have switched to Nick Bradbury's Feed Demon. That aggregator, thus far, I'm getting used to using it. It's a little different than what I've been using before, but it's helped me streamline this show in that I can quickly get through what I need to look at to get the show notes build up. And it's also now supporting enclosures. So if any of you are looking for a new aggregator, I would recommend it. Nick Bradbury's Feed Demon, and it will do pull down enclosures, but it's designed to where's he got it tied into? He doesn't have it tied into the iPod, but he's got it tied into another Windows Media Player. So if you're using any other standard MP3 device and filling up your MP3 players, this is probably a good choice for you. Plus, he keeps adding to it. Now, if any of you are FeedDemon users and you are using the Blog This function, I haven't had a lot of luck with Zempt. So I'm looking for some input on what you all are using with FeedDemon as a third-party Blog This. Basically, I want to be able to send write blog entries right from the application. I don't want to have to go to my primary website and log in and create entry and type it that way. I want to be able to pull stuff out, especially when I'm working on the Link blog. And if you haven't visited the Link blog, look on the right-hand column of the Geek News Central website. I try to update the Link blog a couple days a week, and I just mass dump stuff into that, a lot of like Scoobal does, just stuff that catches my eye but isn't important enough for me to be writing full-blown articles on it. Now, on another topic, a radio station in Denver, they are starting to see decline in listeners, and they're blaming it on iPods and MP3 devices. The youth are not tuning in anymore. So it just goes to prove that podcasting may be the way for, it's a new stream thing, and we can stream this information into people's MP3 players, into iPods, and they get the content to them fast and furious instead of listening to a radio station. Of course, there's all types of podcasts out there right now. So it's, a little bit for everybody. And I'm nice to see that the radio stations are concerned, and it's who they're blaming it on. They blame a decline in record sales because of the sharing of music. Well, it's nice to know that the radio stations are seeing a decline in listenership because the listening of music on iPods or MP3 players, whichever it may be. Now, AMD is working on a way to have their processors cool off when they're not being used. And basically, they're going to lower the chip speed. It's going to be some technology that basically when the computer's sitting idle, instead of your computer running at its maximum chip speed continuously, it's going to automatically drop the chip speed down and, in a sense, chill out the processor because it's not working as hard. In my little office here, I have three computers underneath the desk. One on my wife's side, two on mine, with a laptop on the on top of my desk on my side. So basically, I got three computers within about a 5 by 3 foot area, and those suckers are like a big oven. I sit here and cook, and I have to run an extra fan on the side just to keep them cooled off. And it'd be nice if someone can do something like this, get to cool these computers off. And they have to run continuously because they're doing server type operations. So there are times when they're sitting idle in the middle of the night or, when the activity's low on them, so it'd be kind of cool to cool them off. But there is a hint of something to come on Robert Scoobal's web blog. And I would have missed it, but Dave Weiner over Scripting News linked to it. And here's the comment. I said, yesterday, I had a wonderful Channel 9 interview with another Microsoft team. Oh, this is going to be a fun one. I can't talk about it, but they are working very hard to make sure that Santa has a little gift for all of you that you'll like. I hope they get it done. I was very surprised at it. Speechless, actually. So, what is it? What is this big surprise? So, it'd be nice to see if someone that has their ear to the ground over at Microsoft will leak what they're doing over there. So, Robert, if you're listening to this, we're all curious. What's coming? What's coming out of Microsoft? And I'm assuming that it is going to be something that web bloggers are going to be interested in. Maybe not. I don't know. with Microsoft getting in the MSN Spaces business and basically trying to compete with TypePad and the Blogger, of course. It's who knows, maybe they're coming out with some aggregator tools or something like that. But let me see here, where are we at in the program? We are 25 minutes in. I'm getting down to the end. I've got a couple of things down here in the show notes. So I got some additional things in another area. I don't want to go over that. But I do want to go back to the weblog and talk about a couple of items. Let me load that up here. Okay, here's the item I want to talk about. Hey, I've got Anita, web designer. And if any of you guys out there have know somebody that's a good web designer that is affordable, I don't have a big budget, but I'm looking to do some development work on three or four domains I have acquired recently. It's in the podcast genre, so something to do with a podcast, and I want to have a couple of site designs made and something on my personal site. So if any of you guys are web designers out there and looking for a little work, and if you understand the Moodle type weblog or the web publisher, let me know. And because I'll be honest with you, I know technology, but I do not, I'm not an artist. I don't get into web designs. I have a thought process in my mind what I want, but implementing it is a different thing. I did have an article that was kind of on the health issue that was linked by the BBC that talks about making our own fountain of youth. And there's a prediction here within the next 10 to 20 years, the technology is going to be in place. The science is going to be good enough that they're going to start being able to do cell repair at the, right at that level, and maybe be able to extend our lives out to 1,000 years. Now, I've always told my wife that if I can't live to be 1,000 years old, then I want to be downloaded and live in cyberspace before I die. And obviously, I say that jokingly, but if the technology and science gets that good, which I'm skeptical, to be honest with you, if it does get that good, I'm all for it. But population control obviously be an issue. Those of you that are reading the site on a regular basis know that Adam Curry out in Britain is having some issues with broadband. So if any of you are in Britain that can help him out in determining how to get broadband because of the lack of lines or the lack of ADSL connectivity, where he can get ADSL, but it's a problem with British Telecom. See if you can help him out. And the article to that is on the primary site. Let's see here. I wanted to talk about Skype a little bit. I signed up for Skype Out, and I made some calls on it this weekend. We called my folks back in the mainland and talked to them, and I didn't even say anything to my mom, and she said, oh yeah, the connection sounds great, and we talked for about 20 minutes. I said, yeah, I'm talking to you via the laptop, and it blew her away. She really couldn't believe it. Then my wife made a Skype Out call to Japan, and there was a definite quality of the voice quality was definitely down on it. She didn't call a cell phone; she called a regular landline, and there was almost like her sister said it sounded like a bad, when you have a bad satellite connection, it kind of the audio would drop out a little bit. So, it worked good, but not perfect. Now, I talked to some people, or talked to a gentleman out in Florida earlier last week, and he was on a regular voice IP line, and I talked to him on my landline, and that sounded really, really good. So, Skype works for what it's needed for, but it definitely will not, from my wife anyway, will not replace her using a landline to call Japan. And I'm sure the voice IP products are much, much better, but Skype was a nice alternative, and considering the price, I think 2.5 cents to call Japan, where I pay 10 cents normally to call a regular landline and like 18 cents to call a cell phone, no real complaints there. I guess, you can't, for the amount of money, it's good. But anyway, hey, that's, I'm going to kind of wrap it up for tonight. So I know it was not a great amount of material tonight. We apologize. So that's why we're thinking about moving to Tuesdays and Fridays. Let us know what you think about that. Drop us a message on the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 or Skype me at geeknewscentral.com geeknewscentral, and then the email is geek@geeknewscentral.com. As always, we appreciate you listening to us, and we want to thank our new advertiser again, and we've got a couple more coming on. And by the way, I have some things in work that could be huge. And I've got to keep it under wraps right now, and we're going to see what happens. But, you know, it's been a busy, busy last 4 or 5 days and with some things developing. And I'll let you in on the secret as soon as I can. But you're going to want to listen to Thursday's show. If everything goes right, this interview goes down on Wednesday. I'm going to record it on Wednesday, and then you'll be in your inboxes on Thursday, or in your iPods on Thursday. You're going to want to listen to this show. If you're living and dealing with spam, I have a solution for you. The gentleman I'm going to talk to on the telephone down in Florida, he's going to explain to me what he's doing so that you get a grasp of how significant his system is advanced over many other competitors. But enough on that. I'm going to leave you with a little music from GarageBand.com. Haven't picked out a music slice yet, but here it comes. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy holidays. This is Todd Cochran from Geek News Central signing off.